It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Jennifer Shveta-Jordan in for Paul Guggenheimer. If this week's weather has started putting you in the mood for autumnal spices and rich comfort foods, you're in luck, because Pittsburgh Post-Gazette restaurant critic Melissa McCart is here to talk about fall food trends. Hi, Melissa.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So what's happening in Pittsburgh in terms of new restaurants this fall?
There are so many restaurants opening. I have a piece coming out in tomorrow's Post-Gazette, and I believe there's a list of 20 that are opening this fall. It seems like there are a lot of single concept restaurants that are opening up. So we're not seeing the same full service as opposed to something that's a concept like the tossed salad concept that's next to Velazzi's downtown, for example. We're also seeing something like Schmied's Old World Deli, which is slated to go into the Quiet Storm space. And
well, that was quick.
Exactly. Darren Smith will be moving in with a similar concept to what he's doing in Greenfield, which is basically he's curing his own corned beef, he's baking his own bread, he's making his own pierogies, but he's doing very casual fare, a bar, and a bakery. So we're seeing a lot of casual fare, but then again, we're also seeing casual small plates with more refined details. So you might be able to go into, say, the new Butcher in the Rye downtown, which is from Rick DeChance of Meat and Potatoes, where the small plates might be a little bit more detailed than something at Meat and Potatoes, but it's still casual fare.
So one trend is paring down this fall, getting a little less formal perhaps at restaurants. Why so?
I think that people are going out to dinner more often. And if people are going out to dinner more often, they want to keep the price point down. And so essentially casual concepts allow them to do that.
Okay. What else is on the horizon in terms of fall cuisine?
I think that we're going to see a lot more beer. We have Hop Farm that's opening up in Lawrenceville, which is the second brewery to open in Lawrenceville in the last couple of months. The first one was Roundabout. We also have Gus's Cafe, which will open probably closer to November.
Who is Gus? Do we know?
Gus's Cafe is from the son of Harris Grill, George Haritos, who had started the beer program at Harris Grill. So his menu is essentially tailored for gluten-free diners, but he does have a pretty extensive beer program. And last, we have the Atlas Bottle Shop next to the Rojas Cinemas, and that Brian Mendelsohn and Botero Development is essentially – they have a very ambitious goal, and they want to have the most extensive selection of beers available for takeout or for drinking at the theater in the city.
Now, when you say beer program, that sounds – do people have to get a degree in that?
Allegedly, you could become a Cicerone, but I think it comes with being really enthusiastic.
A Cicerone. What is that?
A Cicerone is sort of like a beer sommelier.
Okay.
I don't know that that many people in Pittsburgh are going to get their Cicerone certification, but I think there are plenty of people who really like beer, especially local beer with lots of hops.
You introduced a new word, another new word to me in the Post-Gazette the other day. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly. Enophiles?
Oh, enophiles, sure. Wine lovers, absolutely.
Sure. You had mentioned, you did a piece about whether diners are stopping visiting their favorite BYOB restaurants when those places get a liquor license. Are they?
You know, I think it's hit and miss. I had a lot of calls after that article in which people had said that they end up calling ahead to find out if there is if there's a corkage fee and how much is that corkage fee. With the price of liquor licenses rising in the city because there's a limited amount across the state, it's very expensive to procure a liquor license. And this year, the average is about $75,000. And so essentially there's a disincentive for people to bring their own wine once a restaurant gets their liquor license.
While we're on the topic of alcohol, Pittsburgh Cocktail Week starts Monday, right?
Absolutely.
20 bars are involved. What will be happening?
One of the things that I'm very interested in, Abraham Hawkins is at Tender Bar and Kitchen, and he was the head barman at Dutch Kills in Long Island City, Queens, and he is especially known for service, gauging the preference of people who come in, whether they want a strong drink or whether they want something to stimulate their appetite. He also is he started the ICE program at Dutch Kills. So
ICE program?
Exactly. I know. So for example, if you have a brown liquor, you probably – and you want it a little bit cold, you wouldn't necessarily have a lot of ice that's going to melt and dilute it. So there's this idea that how ice is cut can allow for a better cocktail.
Okay. Let's get back to food, specifically veggies. I understand that restaurants want us to eat more veggies.
I'm really happy about this. It seems like Pittsburgh is diversifying and it's not so meat and potatoes anymore. And one of the things you're seeing in menus is a list of sides that includes compelling vegetable options. Of course, that has been Brussels sprouts in several different ways for the past couple of seasons. But I think that you'll see a lot more whatever happens to be in season. And I think that you'll see more diversified pickles, especially at places like Legoom. Legoom just redid their dining room. So if you were to go in today, you'd see new tables and new shelves and new banquettes. But they also have a shelf, a series of shelves that displays all of their pickles. And that could be kimchi or pickalilli or various types of pickles that essentially replace citrus as a way to add acid to foods.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Jennifer Shveta-Jordan in for Paul Guggenheimer, speaking with Melissa McCart from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Tell me about, do you have a favorite Brussels sprout dish you've had since you've been here?
My favorite was at Route 174 with Keith Fuller. I went about 2 weeks ago. I think his are a little bit fried and crunchy, and I just like the way that he seasons all of his food. It's very assertive. I like his portion sizes and his platings, and I don't have the opportunity to go there often enough.
Now, you had mentioned small plates being popular. Is this the same as tapas? How do they differ?
Well, there are two places that I'd like to highlight in terms of small plates. One is Butcher in the Rye that's opening in October. I think that we're seeing we're not seeing fine dining the way that we used to. Instead, what we're starting to see is a more tailored small plate. So there might be fewer components than what used to be on a larger fine dining plate, but the details are more refined. I think we'll also see that at Grit and Grace, which is the downtown restaurant from the folks from BRGR and Spoon that's going into the Taste of Downtown space.
Is this the dim sum restaurant?
Yes. And I think that you'll see more Asian influences there and a combination of small plates and share plates so that it's a little bit larger than an entree that might be able to serve four people, for example.
Well, I can share. What kinds of global cuisine work well for the fall? You mentioned Asian. But I know meats are kind of popular, too, and I know some of the darker meats, richer meats, maybe this time of year, we're more apt to put on a sweater so people don't notice how much we're eating.
Absolutely. One of the things I'm seeing more of on menus are birds, period. More duck confit. Oddly enough, we're seeing some poussin, which is essentially spring chicken, 28 days old, really small, individual-sized. We're seeing more ethnic restaurants, period, in Pittsburgh, and I think that it has to do with a little bit of an uptick in immigration here.
Okay.
So we're seeing a couple more Turkish restaurants in the area. We're seeing a couple Peruvian places in the area. We're seeing a lot more Indian restaurants, and certainly Thai, which seems to dominate in Pittsburgh.
I heard a rumor that you had a line on bacon popcorn, and I really thought bacon was kind of over, that whole bacon
excitement. You know, I don't think bacon will ever be over. So, and it seems like there's a de-emphasis on pork lately, but again, people, it's just sort of a weakness, I think. But spiffed up bar snacks, whether they're spicy nuts or bacon popcorn, I think that we're seeing bacon make an appearance in unusual items as opposed to the way we've seen it in the past.
Who's making the bacon popcorn, and can we make it at home?
Tender Bar and Kitchen has a couple of interesting bar snacks, and the Livermore does as well. And yes, you can make bacon popcorn at home. I think that making bacon and then using the bacon fat from the pan to essentially season your
as opposed
popcorn
to butter, maybe.
Right, exactly. It's your high fat snack.
So, and I was thinking maybe chopping some bacon.
Absolutely.
Too, perhaps?
Yes, I left that out. Absolutely.
I went to Franctuary, the hot dog place downtown, just yesterday. I was surprised they don't have the Locavore hot dog, which was kind of their claim to fame. It was this locally made beef.
You know what? I bet it will make an appearance again, because I think that Locavore, everything is continuing to dominate menus. And I think that we'll see it in restaurants that are opening up in particular. A shout out to local farmers, people who are raising animals. I think that's a continued trend for this
fall.
Well,
their hot dog has been replaced by New Zealand grass-fed beef. Decidedly not local, but they do have local sausages, local kielbasa, a local vegetarian sausage. Melissa McCart is the Post-Gazette food critic. She's on Twitter at Melissa McCart, all one word. I'm Jennifer Shveta-Jordan. My handle is AfrontJennifer, and Essential Pittsburgh tweets at ESSPGH. Enrollment for the Affordable Care Act begins in 2 weeks. The overhaul of the health care law is confusing. It raises a lot of questions. On Thursday, September 26th, Essential Pittsburgh will host a public forum on the Affordable Care Act. The event will take place at the WYEP Broadcast Center. Doors will open at 5:30 p.m. and the public is invited. The forum will be recorded for broadcast on October 1st on 90.5 WESA's Daily Magazine, Essential Pittsburgh, right here. Send us your questions regarding what you'd like to know about the Affordable Care Act at ESSPGH at WESA.FM. Tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh, Steve Sokol of the World Affairs Council will be sitting in the host's chair. Thanks for listening to the show.